It's time for some Collective Wisdom, a podcast advancing the cannabis revolution one conversation at a time. We all benefit from sharing knowledge and experiences. So if you want to learn about the business of cannabis from those in the trenches, you've come to the right place. Here's your host, Lisa Tolner, co-founder of SensiChew.
We are in San Jose at Dark Horse Gym, and I have the pleasure of getting a chance to talk with John Fitch. He is sometimes referred to as the least appreciated MMA champion in UFC history. John tied all-time great records, dominated the welterweight division, fought champions with legendary toughness. John began wrestling in the fourth grade and would become a high school standout. He went on to wrestle for Big Ten Purdue University and was a team captain in Division I NCAA. His professional fighting career rose to dominance from 2002 to 2020 in the UFC and Bellator divisions, where he became securely perched at the top for 18 years. John is a writer, a podcaster, and recently retired from the MMA world. John teaches self-defense in his own unique style called Fitch Smash. He also specializes in improving men's lives through his podcast, John Fitch Knows Nothing, and his book titled Falling Up, Death by Ego. John is a believer in cannabis for healing and recovery, and I'm delighted to have him join us here today. John Fitch, welcome to Collective Wisdom.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
I wanted to ask you what your inspiration for becoming a fighter. I know fourth grade seems like a long time ago. I mean, that took incredible commitment to be in this sport for so long. What was your original inspiration?
Well, I mean, I didn't grow up watching the sport. It wasn't really a sport. I kind of fell into it. I was always just chasing competition and always looking for the hardest thing to do. That ended up taking me to college to wrestle. And then I found fighting when I was in college. And I just didn't want to plug into a typical life. I could have left Purdue and went into teaching and would have had the kind of the same life every day, every week for, you know, a number of years. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to try to do something different. So I decided to try fighting and see where that went. And, you know, I fought for a couple of years before it got popular, before people started talking about it and watching it. It was, you know, a passion thing. It wasn't a rational, thought-out decision at all.
Well, I think sometimes when we feel passionate about things, rationality doesn't even come into the equation, right? Yeah. From an athlete's perspective, I think there's a lot of people looking for answers about cannabis. How does cannabis plug into my lifestyle? And here you've used it professionally to help you with training and recovery. And from your athletic perspective, what do you see as the pros and cons to using cannabis?
The cons can be pretty bad, but people who have a less disciplined mindset or lazier can fall victim to getting high and just being a typical, you know, stoner. And if you manage yourself and how much coffee you drink and how much alcohol you drink and how much cannabis you're using, it shouldn't be a problem. But there are, you know, there's always people who just shouldn't touch certain things. For me, it was always something that helped me relax and relieve tension because I get hyper-focused on things, and it helped me as a young athlete relax, collect my thoughts, you know, stay away from, you know, things like alcohol, which took away from my athletic performance and my ability to train. And then later in career, having the injuries and the pain that I had to deal with, having cannabis around was a big bonus.
How would you compare your use of cannabis with maybe some pharmaceuticals that you had to use? Did you find it as effective, equally as effective, or just, you know, better from the side effect standpoint?
I haven't had pharmaceuticals in a really long time. Back when I was in school and we could get pharmaceuticals, a severe injury, we could get Tylenol 3s. We were limited. We didn't get that many of them. And that was pre, you know, opioid crisis. But yeah, those pain pills, they worked, but only for a few days because you usually took too many of them. I remember taking Tylenol 3s and going to class and not really paying attention. There's a lot of dangers with those too. Like, I've lost a friend to overdosing on pharmaceuticals. I luckily had the feeling like, you know, I don't like the way these make me feel. Take too many of them. You know, I got constipated. I got dehydrated. I think it was like 2011, I had shoulder surgery, and like I refused all the pharmaceuticals they gave me. Like I threw them out, and I just used cannabis at that point. So like, I don't know. I feel like I luckily dodged a bullet when I made that decision. When I was little, I decided I didn't like soda. When I was like in junior high, it gave me heartburn. So I stopped drinking soda, so I dodged that sugar bullet, and I think I dodged the pharmaceutical bullet when I realized that I felt too sick after taking the pharmaceuticals. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. I have a theory about pharmaceuticals and just sort of the effect on pain and the effect on physiology, in that it blocks the pain almost so well. I can just think of my own athletic injuries. It blocks the pain so well that you kind of forget about your injury, which is not a good thing, because then you re-injure yourself. Whereas with cannabis, it takes the edge off your pain. You have an awareness of this spot you need to, you know, baby and care for. Takes the edge off so you can function, be yourself, but it doesn't block the pain so completely that you forget about it and then create more damage.
Yeah. Especially with, because I have like stenosis in my thoracic spine. So I get like neck issues and shoulder issues and pinching. So I don't need a complete shut off of the pain. That was, 2017, trying to find somebody to help me out with my neck, because it just, I wasn't able to train or do anything I wanted to at that point. And one of the doctors I went to, like, prescribed me antidepressants.
Good Lord.
Because the antidepressant would block the signal from the nerve to the brain. And I was like, okay. And then, like, I had to pick up the thing at the pharmacy. When I got it, they hand me this booklet. The booklet was like, it's the warning
ridiculous
stuff for the pharmaceutical I was taking. And it was seriously like a quarter inch thick of a booklet telling you all these warnings of things that could happen if you take this pill. You know, if you have firearms in your household, like I poured the stuff out in the sink and washed it all down. I was like, I am not putting this in my body. Like,
so for the average athlete and weekend warrior, obviously you've trained in your career and your history at a whole nother level than your average athlete. But, you know, I know for myself and for a lot of us, you know, we want to get out there on the weekends and play hard and use our bodies. We're not too old yet, but when we're done, then you've got, you know, all the aches and pains. You mentioned sugar earlier and how when you were a teenager, you just decided, that's it, no more sodas.
No more sodas, yeah.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your take on cannabis edibles. There's a lot out there. Mm-hmm. I know you've had a chance and have been trying and using our products, our Sensi products, but also tell us what your feeling is on the typical classification of cannabis edibles today and your take from a health perspective.
I love edibles, but I don't like that they're all sugary. Cookies, they're all brownies, they're all, even the gummies have a lot of sugar on them. Like I limit the amount of fruit snacks my kids eat because it's all sugar. I have my own meal plan that I've been following for a while. I'm very no sugar. Like my only sugar is alcohol if I have a weekend where I drink. I'm very low on carbs. I eat mostly meat. But yeah, I try to limit the sugar because the sugar is the number one problem.
When you talk to other athletes about sugar and you're giving advice to some of your clients on health and wellness, how do you approach that sugar conversation with them?
When I started cleaning up my diet and got rid of a lot of the processed foods and cut out a lot of the sugar, my taste buds started to change. And a lot of that stuff doesn't taste good anymore, especially like the fake sugar. Like, you know, I'll try to explain that to them, but most people glaze over. Start telling them not to eat their cupcake or their donut. But no, I think one thing with athletes is because their energy and their output level is so high that they can get away with a lot of the sugar and the sweets that they eat because they are working at an excess level. They're less likely to store that fat because they're burning so much energy throughout the day. But your average person and a lot of athletes who put on weight after they're done competing, they're continually eating sugar, eating sweets, or the worst thing is that they're having liquid calories.
You're talking soda pop?
Soda pop, processed sugary drinks.
There's a lot of those out there.
A lot of them out there. People drink a lot of them all day. Yeah.
Yeah. So what is your typical cannabis consumption like? just to kind of maintain your health and wellness and also address your pain?
When I was training, it had to be a lot more often because I was just always banging on my head and banging my neck. And you know, there's a lot of inflammation. So I had to deal with that pain. There were times I was up to like smoking a gram a day because the pain was so bad. I started getting supplements and exercises and things to kind of help take pressure off and alleviate and fix my neck a little bit. Like I was able to step that back a lot more. Now I'll go days without consuming and then consume on the weekends and free time for fun. And then sometimes when I lift, the pressure on my back will create a little bit of pain, a little bit of tightness. So I'll use cannabis to help loosen that up.
And on a sort of a daily basis, do you have like a gummy in the morning to kind of help you kind of kickstart and sort of get your pain to a manageable level?
When I have them, a lot of times that's what I'll do is I'll have a gummy in the morning and ride that until see how I feel. If I need another one in the afternoon, maybe I'll have one, or I'll wait until nighttime and smoke maybe before I go to bed, but not even always. I like to work out when I consume. I'll smoke and lift because I have my weights and mats. I have stuff in my garage set up for training. So I like going in there and I'll smoke from my bong and I'll do bench press or squat. Like I enjoy that.
To kind of get in a zone.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's my little turn the music on. It's my little quiet time, my little meditation time. We come here, Dark Horse, and on Sundays we have an open mat. So I like to smoke and do jiu-jitsu also. I smoke and train. I've smoked and sparred and stuff before. You understand your body and how it reacts to the cannabis, and you found the good strains that your body reacts well with. It's a great experience.
How much experimentation did it take for you to find the strains that work for you? Like a lifetime? Or you've really sort of nailed those two or three strains that really work great for your body, so that's where you're going?
You know, 20 years ago, we didn't have... You just got a bag of weed.
That's right. Purple so, what?
Yeah. It's like, look at the leaves on this one. This one smells like blueberries. We didn't have all the science that we have now. So I knew to stay towards the sativas because I got too lethargic and too stuck in my own head. So sativas tended to be the way I went.
Tell us a little bit about Fitch Smash and what you're doing in the self-defense space.
Yeah, so Fitch Smash is like my martial art. So I have my experience through wrestling, through fighting MMA. I have a black belt jiu-jitsu I got in 2008. I went through the Modern Army's Combatives Program, which is a combatives fighting that the military had their guys go through. And I used all that knowledge to create my own fighting system. And you can adjust the fighting system easily based off of the objective. A regular person, their objective is, you know, self-defense, self-preservation. So it's an easy switch for me to direct your techniques in a direction to create and maintain space and get away from the threat. And that's primarily what you're trying to do. You're not trying to take somebody down, mount them, beat them up, armbar them because they try to get your purse. No, you're trying to make noise, make the fight hard, create space, and get away without being hurt. So we direct you in a way to use the techniques that I have available.
Awesome. And how would our listeners reach out to you or learn more about Fitch Smash?
They can email me at yo@johnfitch.net. Okay. I'm also easily available when somebody follows me on my social media and they DM me. I get a lot of clients and interest in seminars and stuff through that.
And also, I understand that you're offering some free online self-defense courses and that folks can check out at John Fitch. And that, remember, that's jonfitch.gumroad.com. I wanted to touch on the podcast, mm-hmm. John Fitch Knows Nothing, and your work that you're doing with men to help them feel good. What's your angle there?
My podcast, you know, I cover a lot of different subjects, but most of them chasing excellence and being better versions of yourselves and trying new things and just getting out there. I also have a Patreon called the Smash Society, and that's like a men's group. We do monthly meetups here in the Bay Area. You don't have to live in the Bay Area to be a part of it, but we talk about dating and fight stuff and a lot of the issues that guys have in the world today. A lot of people were raised to be nice guys, and now they're 25 to 35 years old. They've been nice guys their whole lives, and things aren't working out for them, and they're realizing that, you know, they were kind of lied to, and they need to take control over their lives and themselves, and, you know, nobody's coming to save them, so to speak. They got to save themselves.
Yeah, fascinating. Well, you've given us lots of good things to think about here, John, so appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thank you very much. And people can go to my website, johnfitch.net, and sign up for my newsletter. I do a lot of technique and fight-related emails, what I'm doing next, where my seminars are, and what I have available. So if they want to keep in touch, that's a good way to do it.
Well, folks, thanks for joining us today. We've been chatting with John Fitch, legendary UFC champ, and his take on cannabis for health and wellness. This is Lisa Tolner, your host. Have a great day and be well.
That's this week's episode of the Collective Wisdom Podcast. Be sure to visit cacollectivewisdom.com or email us at collectivewisdompodcast@gmail.com to join the conversation. Thank you for listening.